They whisper, "She's a shut-in." As they pass by my cottage door, where daily by my window I've sat 20 years or more. My feet are lame, I cannot walk. I've been that way since birth. I'll never travel round and see the wonders of the earth. They whisper, "What a pity she should be afflicted so. She just sits there in a wheelchair, never has a chance to go." They wonder how I bear it, and perhaps you wonder too. It's because I have a promise that was given me long ago by another one who suffered greater pain than I could know. He is building me a mansion in a land more wondrous far than the majesty of the oceans, than the lofty mountains are. And I know when I shall go there, the first thing I will do is exchange these withered feet of clay for others straight and new. Then up on the golden streets, on limbs so fine and strong, I'll wend my way mid angel fair and lift my voice in song. Many have a much different attitude than does this lady. She looked not so much on her present physical condition, but she was looking to a day when she would be afflicted no more. She was not dwelling on her present, suffering, but on another day. You know, there are a lot of people who blame God for their situation in life, saying things like, "A good God would not allow such evils in the world." The question, why does God allow good people to suffer, has been around a long time. I invite you to turn in your Bibles as we begin this afternoon in Judges chapter 6. In Judges chapter 6, beginning there in verse 1. It says, "And the children of Israel did that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah. And Jehovah delivered them into the hands of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of Midian, the children of Israel made them dens, which are in the mountains, and caves, and the strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, and they came up against them. And they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou comest to Gaza, and left no sustenance in Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents. They came in as locusts for multitude. Both they and their camels were without number. They came into the land to destroy it. And Israel was brought very low because of Midian. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord." For 7 years, Israel was being victimized by the Midianites. Her crops were destroyed. Her livestock was confiscated. The people were forced to seek refuge in the dens and in the caves and the mountains. And it was during this very difficult time that the angel of Jehovah appeared unto Gideon. In that same chapter, drop down to verse 12. "And the angel of Jehovah appeared unto him and said unto him, Jehovah is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, Oh my Lord, if Jehovah is with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where are all of your wondrous works which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not Jehovah bring us up from Egypt? But now Jehovah hath cast us off and delivered us into the hand of Midian. My friends, this is the very question that many people are asking today. Many are asking things like, if God is with us, why did my son have to die of cancer? If God is with us, why was my wife hit by a car in the parking lot and still suffering from it this very day? If God is with us, why did my spouse have to die? If God is with us, why did my house burn down? If God is with us, why did I lose my job? If God is with us, why do bad things happen to good people? These and 1,000 other similar questions could be asked. These questions, they grip the human heart. And there are thousands upon thousands of people who are crying out for some kind of answer. Why, Lord? Why do bad things happen to good people? Let's talk about this problem. The problem stated for a moment. With many people, the great obstacle to belief in God is the problem of evil and suffering. Many sincere people, they agonize greatly in an effort to resolve this problem in their minds. And there are many people who assume that there cannot be a loving God such as the Bible indicates because of all the evil and suffering in the world today. But as we begin to contemplate this, I want you to notice something very carefully. It's very important. No man should be so bold as to think that he can completely understand everything about the problem of suffering. Romans chapter 11 and verse 33. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and what? And his ways past finding out. Consider also the book of Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29. It's already been read a couple of times this week. The secret things belong unto Jehovah our God, but the things that are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. God has revealed to us what we need to know. The things we would like to know, but can't, we have to accept by faith, knowing that God always does what is right. That kind of reminds me of what we find in the book of Genesis chapter 18 and verse 25. It says, That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, that so the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. He says, Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? That's a rhetorical question and needs no answer. Of course God is always going to do what is right. We don't have all the answers, but we know one thing for sure, and what is that? God will always do what is right. Do you believe that? Shake or nod. Do you believe it? Notice this also. Man is not God's advisor. Consider with me Romans chapter 11, verses 33 through 36. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past tracing out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him? And it shall be recompensed unto him. For of him and through him and unto him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Who gave us the right to question God? Are we so naive as to think that we could create a better world than God? See, many times man does not even know good from evil. Many call evil good. They call good evil. Many call pain evil when it's good. Many think that only pleasure is good. Many think that pain is always evil. Let's address this for a second. Let's address this problem. First of all, it should be noted that when a person raises the question of evil, he is inadvertently appealing to some universal system of justice which evil allegedly violates. But if there's no God, then there is no universal system of rightness, and then there's no such thing as evil. Let the atheist therefore define for us that standard by which they judge a certain thing to be good or evil. They can't do it without God. God, who is love, 1 John 4 and verse 8, expresses his love by giving us the freedom to choose. God has given us this freedom. You remember in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15? And if it seem evil unto you to serve Jehovah, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua had a choice. And his family, they chose to serve the Lord. John 7, verse 17, if any man willeth to do his will, he shall know of the teaching whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself. Willeth to do his will. Freedom of choice. Revelation 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And he that heareth, let him say, come. He that is athirst, let him come, that he will. Let him take the water of the life freely. He that will. God has not slavishly programmed us, but has given us free will. God wants us to serve him willingly. It is a willing service that pleases God. Carol and I try as often as we can to go visit the grandkids. And when it's time to go, Mama says, go hug your poppy. Now, I've got some grandkids who just run and jump all over me, right, and hug me and everything. Man, I love that. And then every now and again we get an old fuddy-dud who don't want to do it, and mama wants to make her do it, or him. And I say, I don't want it. I don't want no stinking forced hugs. Don't even give it to me. What if God forces us to love Him? What kind of love would that be? What a wonderful blessing it is to have free will and not be mere robots. So here's the deal. Where there is freedom of choice, there is a possibility of people making bad choices. And bad choices entail adverse consequences. Think about this. If all actions, all choices, both good and bad, produce exactly the same effect, how would we ever learn to choose the good and to reject the bad? It's clear, therefore, that finite being with personal willpower must be allowed to suffer the consequences of their wrong choices if they're ever to learn that the good is to be valued over the bad. In light of this, I want us to consider some of the types of sufferings that are in the world today. There is personal wrong choices that sometimes bring about suffering. You know, we frequently bring suffering upon ourselves, right? How many of you? He is his own worst enemy. Bring suffering upon themselves. Look, you remember back in Judges chapter 6 and verse 1 that we read a moment ago? It says, and the children of Israel did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and Jehovah delivered them into the hands of Midian 7 years. Why was Israel suffering? They did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. It was their own personal choice. 1 Peter 4 and verse 15 says, let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a meddler in other men's matters. You know, if a man steals and he goes to prison, is that not his fault? If a man is a murderer and he's executed, is God to blame? You know, someone would argue, well, God could have prevented the crime, hence the suffering. Not if he wanted to preserve man's freedom of choice. You see, God limits his own activity by lovingly granting man free will, willpower, to do as he pleases. Sometimes we suffer because of the wrong choices of others. Consider the amount of suffering that goes on in our world as a result of what other people have done. Now, we can't argue for the freedom of choice for other people and not let, you know, and for us, but not for other people. I want all the righteous people to have freedom to choose, but all evil people, they don't have the right to choose. How's that going to work for you? Well, in Acts 10 verse 34 and Romans 2 and verse 11, we see there that God is not a respecter of persons. So he gives the freedom to choose to every man. So innocent people may be killed in a wreck involving a drunk driver. In times of war, many are killed as a consequence of evil decisions of a few leaders. We sometimes pay the price for the freedom of choice of other people. But there's also suffering because of the personal wrong choices of former generations. If we are to reap the benefits of the good labors of generations gone by, the various scientific discoveries, the various medical technologies that have occurred, can we avoid reaping the evil as well? God warned that rejection of Him would affect generations yet unborn. You look in your Bibles in Exodus chapter 20, verses 5 and 6. It says, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them, for I, Jehovah thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the third and upon the fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing loving kindness unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." Israel is going to suffer because of the people gone before them. Last year, about this time, Carol and I were in Egypt, riding a camel. And we saw firsthand what evils of former generations do to a present generation. You think back, the city of Alexandria, one of the most noble and beautiful and great cities of all time, one of the wonders of the world. I went there. I was excited. Alexandria! It was one of the armpits of Egypt. Cairo. The stinkingest place I ever saw. Man, they had trash piled up in the streets everywhere. And did you know that the average income of one of the average Egyptian is $1,500 a year? Why? Because the former generation allowed Muslims to take over their country. And now the whole country's suffering. You could say the same thing about communistic and socialistic countries. But consider also our world of natural law. We live in a world that is regulated by natural law, thus can a certain amount happens because of natural law, certain amount of suffering. Remember in Luke chapter 13, verses 4 and 5? The Tower of Siloam fell on these people. Did they sin? No, they are in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, Jesus says they were not victims of sins, but they were victims of natural law. I was a victim of natural law the other day. We had an elder and deacons meeting. And I was coming down the stairs, and I was about five steps from the bottom and caught my heel. And I rolled to the bottom. You know what I wish I had said? Lord, take away natural law so I could float past this thing. But no, I violated natural law and went down to the ground. After they saw I wasn't hurt, they laughed at me. Violation of natural law. We know that there's suffering in the world, right? Our loved ones suffer. And this being the case, I want to share with you in the next few minutes the benefits of suffering. Did you know that there are benefits physically to suffering? You remember those cold December days when you back up to that fire? Oh, man, feels so good. Next thing you know, you back up, you catch on fire. What if your clothes catch on fire and you didn't have any pain or suffering? What would happen? You'd be burned up pretty good. Have you ever picked up a cast iron skillet that was on the stove? Forget about it. I mean, it'll take me long to look at that thing, right? It's hot and you let go of it fast. Why? Because pain says don't hold on to that. If you do, it's going to burn your stinking hand off. When we have a pain, unless you're Dink McDonald, you go to the doctor, right? Something's wrong. There's a pain here. I ain't supposed to have this. Pain also helps us to develop noble character. Without pain, where would the traits like patience and bravery be cultivated? Without physical pain. But I believe that the most beneficial reason for suffering is the spiritual. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 2 Chronicles. In 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verses 10 through 12. Am I supposed to quit at 7:15? Is that right? In 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verses 10 through 12. And I have a lot of passages, and I don't have these on the website, but I'll put all this stuff on the website later. But I have a lot more passages about the benefits of suffering that I can get to tonight. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 33, notice verses 10 through 12. And Jehovah spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they gave no heed. Wherefore Jehovah brought upon them the captains of the host of the kings of Assyria, who took Manasseh in chains and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in distress, he besought Jehovah his God, humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. What does suffering do? It can produce humility. We need humility in our Christian life. Consider also Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 67. The psalmist says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I observe thy word. Suffering promotes obedience. Just think back. I can rattle off several right now. People that you probably don't know, that changed their life, they came back to the Lord, or even to the Lord, because of suffering. Psalm 119, verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Have you ever thought about how that suffering promotes Bible study? You know when the most Bibles sold that was ever sold in the face of this earth? Like about 1932. You know the Bible is the best-selling book every year? They don't put it on the list anymore because it would be there every year. Why? People turn to the book in times of difficulty. Remember when 9/11 came? Everybody's talking about what? Let's get into the book. Come on, man, let's get in the book. Let's get in the book, right? That's what people do. Suffering brings that about. I want to share this with you. This is, you know, there are a lot of verses in the Bible that mean a lot to me. And I'm old and I get emotional sometimes, but this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, we could look at a lot of it, but I want to look at verses 5 through 7. This is one of the most meaningful verses to me in all the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. For as the suffering of Christ aboundeth unto us, even so our comfort aboundeth through Christ. But whether we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or whether we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which worketh in the patient enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. And our hope for you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the suffering, so also are ye of the comfort. Our afflictions will have consolation, will have comfort. But you know what I really like about this passage? He says, with the comfort that you gain from God, comfort other people. Who knows if you're being afflicted so that you can overcome it, so you can help sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so in their difficulty. Have you ever looked at it that way? God's preparing you to help her or him in his difficulty. Let me close with this. What are the results if we handle suffering properly? Well, one of them is we're going to reign in heaven. I don't know about you, but that's kind of worth it, isn't it? You look in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12, it says, if we endure, we shall reign with him. If we shall deny him, he will also deny us. Wouldn't you like to reign with Christ forever and ever in heaven? Then you need to handle your sufferings properly. James chapter 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he hath been approved, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord promised to them that love him. Crown of life. If we handle the difficulties in life properly, we can reign in heaven. We can have a Stephanos, a victor's crown. And my friends, Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, Paul says, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed to us. No matter what we endure in life, I don't care what happens to you. Well, I care, but you know what I mean. No matter what happens to you, heaven will make it all worthwhile. How will you handle the sufferings of this life?